He felt afraid for his friend, but powerless to help. The door they had him behind was unlike any he'd seen before, thick and solid, gleaming and daunting. If the trouble his friend had caused could be measured by where they were keeping him. He shuddered to continue that line of thought. It had only been a few months since the last cleaning. Mission had been there, had carried up part of the suit from IT, a more haunting experience than porting a body for burial. Dead bodies, at least, were placed in the black bags the coroners used. The cleaning suit was a different sort of bag, tailored to a living soul that would crawl inside and be forced to die within. Mission remembered where they had picked up the gear. It had been a room right down the hall from where Rodney was being kept. Weren't cleanings run by the same department? He shivered. One slip of a tongue could land a body out there, rotting on the hills, and his friend Rodney was known to wag his dangerously. First his mother, and now his best friend. Mission wondered what the pact said about volunteering to clean in one's stead, if it said anything at all. Amazing that he could live under the rules of a document he'd never read. He just assumed others had, all the people in charge, and that they were operating by its codes in good faith. On 58, a porter's chief, tied to the downbound railing, caught his attention. It was the same blue pattern as the chief worn around his neck, but with a bright red merchant's hem. Duty beckoned, dispelling thoughts that were spiraling nowhere. Mission unknotted the chief and searched the fabric for the merchant's stamp. It was Drexel's, the apothecarist down the hall. Light loads and lighter pay, normally. But at least it was downbound, unless Drexel had been careless again with which rail he tied it to. Mission was dying to get to Central, where a shower and a change of clothes awaited. But if anyone spotted him with a flat pack marching past a signal chief, he'd hear it from Roker and the others. He hurried inside to Drexel's, praying it wasn't a round of meds going to several dozen individual apartments. His legs ached just at the thought of it. Drexel was at the counter as Mission pushed open the apothecarist's squeaky door. A large man with a full beard and a balding head, Drexel was something of a fixture in the mids. Many came to him rather than to the doctors, though Mission wasn't sure how sound a choice that was. Often it was the man with the most promises who got the chits, not the one who made people better. A handful of the seemingly sick sat on Drexel's waiting room bench, sniffling and coughing. Mission felt the urge to cover his mouth with his chief. Instead, he innocuously held his breath and waited while Drexel filled a small square of paper with ground powder, folding it neatly before handing it to the woman waiting. The woman slid a few chits across the counter. When she walked away, Mission tossed the signal chief on top of the money.
Ah, Mish. Good to see you, boy. Looking fit as a fiddle.
Drexel smoothed his beard and smiled, yellow teeth peering out from cornrows of drooping whiskers.
Same,
Mission said politely, braving a breath.
Got something for me? I do. One sec.
Drexel disappeared behind a wall of shelves, crammed full of tiny vials and jars. The apothecarist reappeared with a small sack.
Meds for down below, he said.
I can take them as far as Central and have dispatch send them from there, Mission told him. I'm just finishing up a shift. Drexel frowned and rubbed his beard.
I suppose that'll do. And dispatch'll bill me?
Mission held out a palm.
If you tip,
he said.
Aye, a tip, but only if you solve a riddle.
Drexel leaned on the counter, which seemed to sag beneath his bulk. The last thing Mission wanted to hear was another of the old man's riddles and then not get paid, always an excuse with Drexel to keep a chit on his side of the counter.
Okay, the apothecarist began, tugging on his whiskers. Which one weighs more, a bag full of 78 pounds of feathers or a bag full of 78 pounds of rocks?
Mission didn't hesitate with his answer.
The bag of feathers, he declared. He'd heard of this one before. It was a riddle made for a porter, and he had thought on it long enough between the levels to come up with his own answer, one different from the obvious.
Incorrect! Drexel roared, waving a finger. It isn't the rocks.
His face dimmed. Wait, did you say the feathers? He shook his head.
No, boy, they weigh the same.
The contents weigh the same, Mission told him. The bag of feathers would have to be bigger. You said they were both full, which means a bigger bag with more material, and so it weighs more.
He held out his palm. Drexel stood there, chewing his beard for a moment, thrown off his game. Begrudgingly, he took two coins from the lady's pay and placed them in Mission's hand. Mission accepted them and stuffed the sack of meds into his pack before cinching it up tight.
The bigger bag, Drexel muttered as Mission hurried off, past the benches, holding his breath again as he went, the pills rattling in his sack.
The apothecarist's annoyance was worth far more than the tip, but Mission accepted both. The enjoyment faded, however, as he spiraled down through a tense silo. He saw deputies on one landing, hands on their guns, trying to calm down fighting neighbors. The glass on the windows peeking into a shop on 42 were broken and covered with a sheet of plastic. Mission was pretty sure that was recent. A woman on 44 sat by the rails and sobbed into her palms. And Mission watched as people passed her by without stopping.
On down he went as well, the stairway trembling, the graffiti on the walls warning him of what was yet to come.
He arrived at Central Dispatch to find it eerily quiet, made his way past the sorting rooms with their tall shelves of items needing delivery, and went straight to the main counter. He would drop off his current package and pick out his next job before changing and showering. Caitlin was working the counter. There were no other porters queued up, off licking their wounds, perhaps, or maybe seeing to their families during this recent spate of violence.
Hey, Caitlin. Mish, she smiled. You look intact.
He laughed and touched his nose, which was still sore.
Thanks. Cam just passed through asking where you were.
Yeah?
Mission was surprised. He figured his friend would be taking a day off with the bonus from the coroner.
Did he pick something up?
Yup. He requested anything heading towards supply. Was in a better mood than usual, though he seemed miffed to have been left out of last night's adventures.
You heard about that, huh?
Mission sorted through the delivery list. He was looking for something upbound. Mrs. Crow would know what to do about Rodney. Maybe she could find out from the mayor what he was being punished for, perhaps put in a good word for him.
Wait, he said, glancing up at Caitlin. What do you mean he was in a good mood? And he was heading for supply?
Mission thought of the job he'd been offered by Wick. The head of IT had said Mission wouldn't be the last to hear of the offer. Maybe he hadn't been the first either.
Where was Cam coming from?
Caitlin touched her fingers to her tongue and flipped through the old log.
I think his last delivery was a broken computer heading to... That little rat!
Mission slapped the counter. You got anything else heading down? Maybe to supply or chemical?
She checked her computer, fingers clacking furiously, the rest of her perfectly serene.
We're so slow right now, she said apologetically.
I've got something from mechanical back up to supply. 45 pounds. No rush. Standard freight.
She peered across the counter at Mission, seeing if he was interested.
"I'll take it," he said.
But he didn't plan on heading straight to mechanical. If he raised, maybe he could beat Cam to supply and do that other job for Wig. That was the way in he was looking for. It wasn't the money he wanted. It was having an excuse to go back to 34 to collect his pay. Another chance to see Rodney, see what kind of help his friend needed, what sort of trouble he was truly in.
Chapter 41. Mission made record time downbound. It helped that traffic was light, but it wasn't a good sign that he didn't pass Cam on the way. The kid must have had a good head start. Either that or Mission had gotten lucky and had overtaken him while he was off the stairway for a bathroom break. Pausing for a moment on the landing outside of supply, Mission caught his breath and dabbed the sweat from his neck. He still hadn't had his shower. Maybe after he found Cam and took care of this job in mechanical, he could get cleaned up and get some proper rest. Lower dispatch would have a change of clothes for him, and then he could figure out what to do about Rodney. So much to think about. A blessing that it took his mind off his birthday. Inside supply, he found a handful of people waiting at the counter. No sign of Cam. If the boy had come and gone already, he must have flown, and the delivery must have been heading further down. Mission tapped his foot and waited his turn. Once at the counter, he asked for Joyce, just like Wick had said. The man pointed to a heavy-set woman with long braids at the other end of the counter. Mission recognized her. She handled a lot of the flow of equipment marked special for IT. He waited until she was done with her customer, then asked for any deliveries under the name of Wick. She narrowed her eyes at him. "You got a glitch at dispatch?" she asked. "Done handed that one off." She waved for the next person in line. "Could you tell me where it was heading?" Mission asked. "I was sent to relieve the other guy. His mother is sick. They're not sure if she's going to make it." Mission winced at the lie. The lady behind the counter twisted her mouth in disbelief. "Please," he begged. "It really is important." She hesitated. "It was going 6 flights down to an apartment. I don't have the exact number. It was on the delivery report." 6 down. Mission knew the level. 116 was residential, except for the handful of less than legal businesses being run out of a few apartments. "Thanks," he said. He slapped the counter and hurried toward the exit. It was on his way to mechanical anyway. He might be too late for Wick's delivery, but he could ask Cam if he might pick up the pay for him, offer him a vacation chit in return, or he could just flat out tell him an old friend was in trouble and he needed to get through security. If not, he'd have to wait for an IT request to hit dispatch and be the first to jump on it, and he'd have to hope that Rodney had that much time. He was 4 levels down, formulating a dozen such plans, and the blast went off. The great stairwell lurched as if thrown sideways. Mission slammed against the rail and nearly went over. He wrapped his arms around the trembling steel and held on. There was a shriek, a chorus of groans. He watched, his head out in the space beyond the railing, as the landing 2 levels below twisted away from the staircase. The metal sang and cried out as it was ripped free and went tumbling into the depths. More than one body plummeted after. The receding figures performed cartwheels in space. Mission tore himself away from the sight. A few steps down from him, a woman remained on her hands and knees, looking up at Mission with wild and frightened eyes. There was a distant crash, impossibly far below. "I don't know," he wanted to say. There was that question in her eyes, the same one pounding in his skull, echoing with the sound of the blast. What the hell just happened? Is this it? Has it begun? He considered running up, away from the explosion, but there were screams coming from below, and a porter had a duty to those on the stairwell in need. He helped the woman to her feet and bid her upward. Already the smell of something acrid and the haze of smoke were filling the air. "Go," he urged, and then he spiraled down against the sudden flow of upward traffic. Cam was down there. Where his friend had gone with the package and where the blast had occurred were still coincidence in Mission's rattled mind. The landing below held a crush of people. Residents and shopkeepers crowded out of the doors and fought for a spot at the rail that they might gaze over at the wreckage one flight further down. Mission fought his way through, yelling Cam's name, keeping an eye out for his friend. A bedraggled couple staggered up to the crowded landing with hollow eyes, clutching the railing and each other. He didn't see Cam anywhere. He raced down 5 turns of the central post, his normally deft feet stumbling on the slick treads, around and around.